and listeners sponsored WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. Around the world on the web, jmtheam.org. When Lenny Solomon belts out the Making Aliyah Today song, it is our signal that Rabbi Yehoshua Fass, Rabbi Josh Fass of Nefesh B'Nefesh, arguably the most important Jewish organization in the entire world today, is with us live via telephone. Rabbi Fass leads Nefesh B'Nefesh and leads thousands from Chutz La'aretz, from outside of Israel, to Israel, with his and his staff's amazing efforts on a daily basis. It is incredible the work they do. And every time Parsha Shlach rolls around, and in Israel, they, of course, had Parsha Shlach already, because as you know, folks, Israel is way ahead of Chutz La'aretz. We're way behind in so many different ways, especially when it comes to our history and our Torah. We are way behind. This week, we'll finally get to it. We'll be reading Parsha Shlach in Shul, and that's been the tradition when we read Parsha Shlach in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel. Rabbi Fass joins us for some inspiring words here at JM in the AM. Rabbi Josh Fass, welcome back to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much. Good morning. And good morning to all the listeners.
About an hour ago, I posted on Facebook that you're going to be on. It's amazing the reactions that I get. Just amazing. Everyone is...
My family members?
I don't see anybody with the name Fass here, but I see a lot of folks who have already moved to Israel, who are encouraging us to bring everybody home, who are saying, amen, it sure is time. One person who's telling me they've filled out three different types of forms, regular Aliyah, guided Aliyah, and split Aliyah, just in case they need to have all the bases covered for their specific situation.
A lot of paperwork.
We have somebody listening right now in Beit Shemesh who's hoping that we'll broadcast JM and the AM live from Israel one day. We have listener Michael down in Florida who heard that you're going to be on the air today, and said that Born in the USA, Making Aliyah Today should be exclusive to Rabbi Fass and not any other Nefesh B'Nefesh representatives.
I think I know which Michael wrote that.
I had a feeling you'd know that. He says, send my love to the great Rabbi Fass. So all we do is mention the concept of Aliyah. All we do is give a sprinkling of information that you're going to be joining us, and there is this worldwide reaction about moving to Israel. Rabbi Fass, it's always a pleasure to have you on the air. Parsha Shlach. How was Shlach, by the way? Because I hear in Israel they already took care of that.
Shlach was beautiful the first time around. You know, this is 2 weeks in a row talking about Shlach.
That's right. You were probably bombarded last week in Israel. Now you have to do the same routine in Chutz La'aretz.
It's fine.
And this is always the week that we try to emphasize Aliyah. For those of you not familiar, Parsha Shlach, of course, the story of the Meraglim, the story of the spies. They are asked by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Moses, to go scout out the land. The majority come back. I don't know the exact percentage, but you could figure it out. 10 out of 12 come back with what the Torah describes as an unfavorable report, or more on the negative side. Rabbi Fass, I'm sure, will elaborate in just a moment. Two of the spies, a more positive outlook about the land. And you know what's interesting, Rabbi Fass, not to do this in a manner that's split along political lines, because it's unnecessary and it's probably not 100% accurate anyway. But often we see that a lot of issues that are important to, that we think are important to the future of the Jewish people, basically split the same way or close to the way that the numbers of the Meraglim split. It's not unlikely or not uncommon where you'll see, for instance, 80% of the Jewish people feeling that something should be done or not done in a certain way in terms of the future of Israel, and only a very small minority, 20% or, you know, somewhere in that vicinity, are taking the other side, you know, seemingly much more concerned about what the ramifications may be. Has that ever dawned on you that often we're dealing with the same percentages that we had in the Chumash?
I've often looked at the percentage of the 80%, it's probably a little less, of just the connect or disconnect between Jewry and Israel. Or if you look at just American Jewry, the Ministry of Tourism always floats this number that almost 80% of American Jewry never set foot in Israel.
Right.
Not even a stopover, not even on a trip, a bar mitzvah trip, anything, not a vacation. And if you think about that 80% disconnect, and that disconnect of the spies coming back, it's very, very comparable, very parallel.
And one could argue in a very esoteric way that the original spies, 80% of them, may not have stepped foot in Israel either the way they should have, or with the attitude or proper preparation that they should have.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if every single day that they were traversing in Israel became a punishment paralleling to a year that they had to stay in the desert, then their entire trip from the get-go was with ill intent.
Is it therefore extremely rare that your office gets an application, especially from an older person who's never been to Israel?
We often get, and we advise them that you really have to see Israel. We almost require an individual to see Israel before they make Aliyah. It's a marriage, making a marriage for a lifetime. You have to date the woman or man before the marriage.
Right.
You're making a leap of faith and making a massive transition in life. So you really have to come and spend some time.
There's a
pilot trip, some experience here before making Aliyah.
There's a courtship process, and you like to see everybody fall in love with Israel before they actually make the move.
Correct.
Rabbi Fass is with us live from Yerushalayim. We're talking about Nefesh B'Nefesh. So what was the theme this year? I know each and every time around we get the Parsha Shlach, you would take somewhat of a different angle, somewhat of a different message when you address the masses. You've already had time to prepare because of Shlach being read in Israel last week. What was the theme this time around for you?
I can actually do it every single week this way now for the next couple of weeks, and I have preparation.
That's true.
I actually heard a beautiful, beautiful insight from the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz HaRav, Yaakov Shapiro. And he pointed out something fascinating. I went to a short lecture of his this week. And he said, if you pay attention to the verses, to the psukim, the Meraglim come back and the spies are concerned, obviously, and create this trauma and anxiety within the Jewish people that there are many giants there and the land is eating its people and a multitude of enemies, and it's an impossibility. And we think of Yehoshua and Kalev as being the responders, but it's only really Kalev that's vocalizing any response. And Kalev says, Le'ahas Kalev et ha'am Moshe, he quiets the nation, and he says, stop complaining, stop screaming, and he says, Alona alev yirashno tekiachonu chala. We can do this. We're going to ascend, and we're going to inherit the land, and we can accomplish this goal. And Rashi on that pasuk, on that verse, quotes a medrash, this literature that fleshes out this verse. And he says, Afilu bashamayim, even if Moshe, even if God told us that our destination was in the heavens, and he told us that we have to make ladders that reach the heavens, we would accomplish it. We have a promise of our people that we can, ascend this ladder. Now, what's remarkable about this medrash, it's the report is really not analogous to the complaint. If the people are complaining, it's impossible, there's so many enemies, they're greater forces than us, then what should be the response? The response is that even if there are hundreds of nations, and even if we have many battalions against us, we can still go. And Kalev says in this medrash, no, even if God told us, even if Moshe instructed us to build ladders to the skies, to the heavens, we can do it. So Yaakov Shapiro said, what's this with the ladders? What's with this heavens? And he said, perhaps it really isolates, or maybe Kalev isolated the core disconnect, or the core concern of the Jewish people with moving to Israel. And that is because after all these promises of the destiny of the Jewish people coming to Israel, the Jewish people really thought that God would give them Israel, our land, our homeland, on a silver platter. And when they came back with this response, they realized that they would have to roll up their sleeves, and it's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging, it's going to be tedious. So Kalev took that response, and he saw that core issue, and he said, even if we were told to build ladders to get to the heavens, we're going to do it. And what's with a ladder? A ladder is you can't jump on a ladder. You can't run up a ladder. You can't speed up. It's rung by rung by rung. It's a slow process, even if it is not automatic. even if it requires massive effort, even if there are no shortcuts and you can't skip two or three rungs on this ladder, we will ascend that ladder. That is the promise. That is the destiny of the Jewish people. And Avi Levine, when I was talking to him this morning, shout out to Avi, Avi said it's not even that it's saying that if God would tell us that we have to ascend the ladder and go to heaven, he says that even if we were told to build the ladder, so not only is there effort and there's an understanding that obviously it's worth it at the end, but we might even have to create the tools to ascend
right.
that with all the efforts. And that is the core issue. And I think it's very, very much relevant to today. I think we've been waiting for so many years, and we've had massive, historic catastrophes and complications along the way that you would think that the Jewish people, when we finally have Israel, will be on a silver platter.
Right.
It's not a fetus of Amos L'Shamayim. Even if you have to build the ladders, we will get there. We will ascend. That is the destiny of the Jewish people. We will not Sliach. And I think that's what we've been trying to dedicate our lives to make that, to build the ladders for many people, so they don't have to build that ladder to ascend, and to make it easier, to make it a shorter ladder, to make it, you know, maybe a cushioned, you know, handle.
Yeah, well, but brilliant.
So they can be nafliach, so they can be successful in their fulfilling of their dream and also the national destiny.
A brilliant thought, and I'm hoping, and we certainly don't have to go into details publicly, but I'm hoping that those groups that you need to help you build that ladder, whether it be the government of Israel or others who you rely on or work with, or, you know, hope and encourage them to, you know, to be at your side. I hope, in fact, you're getting the cooperation that is necessary. Rabbi Yehoshua Fass is with us live via telephone, Parsha Shlach in Chutz La'aretz. We are always behind what's happening in Israel. This is no exception. We're a week behind in the Torah reading, but we get to explore one of the most fascinating and interesting parshiot, especially in regard to settling the land of Israel. You know, a lot of people are frustrated. You just mentioned speed. You mentioned how slow, unfortunately, things seem sometimes. And especially in this era when everybody needs everything instantly. You know, today's an era. You know, and people wait for, you know, quote unquote, the building to fall from the sky and the geula to come in the snap of a finger. Sometimes the work that's necessary becomes frustrating and God forbid tedious. And it's a very important message that you just conveyed to all of us about the speed and sometimes the pace that we have to maintain when we're trying to achieve a goal. Now, speaking of goals, you have I'm sure you have a couple of answers to some often asked questions, technical questions regarding Nefesh B'Nefesh over the last few months. Number one, is there an increase in applicants due to the economic situation outside of Israel?
Absolutely. Right now, frighteningly so, we have a 300% increase from last year to this year in regards to Aliyah interest. We have a complete, we have 8,000 people who've downloaded an application in 2009. In just the last 3 months, instead of, you know, compared to last year of 381 families who applied, we have 828 families that applied within a 3 month period.
Wow.
So the numbers are staggering on every level, just not on the applications, but even on the programs that we just started last year. The Physicians Fellowship that had 28 doctors last year, this year has 46.
Wow.
Last year we didn't have a Go North program. We talked about it on the air a few times, of moving, our goal is to move 1,000 people over the next 5 years to the Golan and Galil. And this year in our initial launch, we have 32-plus families, which is 120 to 150 people coming to the north just this summer. So it's just, and I'll give you another stat. Every year we bring around 250 soldiers. Incredible. Young, we've talked about this, a few times, individuals making Aliyah and going directly into the IDF.
Right.
So on average, annually we bring around 200 or so Olin that go straight into the IDF. This year we have 450.
All right, a couple of things about what you just mentioned, because I'm curious. First of all, back to the employment, because I know one of the biggest departments you have and most important departments you have in Nefesh B'Nefesh is, in fact, the employment department. If someone cannot find employment outside of Israel and they're trying and then they decide to go ahead and apply for, you know, Nefesh B'Nefesh, Aliyah, Is it more likely that they will find employment in Israel? Are things, quote-unquote, just as bad there as everywhere else when it comes to the job market?
It's not as bad. It's not as bad at all. And I think that's why everyone's talking about the shekel being one of the strongest currencies right now.
Right.
So some people are either looking at this as that it hasn't hit Israel yet.
Mm-hmm.
Others are looking at it that we're somehow, for now, withstanding the storm a little bit.
So
however, there are businesses that are closing and there are layoffs. However, we're still finding people positions. It's not at the same, remarkable rates, obviously, as the previous years, because we're dealing with a reality that's extremely difficult. But there's still options.
So when you place perspective Olim, it's not a total shock. I mean, there are people who are getting placed.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Right. And in terms of the physicians, is that a product of the economy, or are there other reasons why your physicians program is increasing?
The physicians program?
The physicians. You said that there's 46.
The physicians program is because there is an expected massive physicians drought that's about to happen in Israel, believe it or not.
So it's an opportunity for physicians.
It's a tremendous opportunity. That was the main reason why we created the Physicians Fellowship with the Legacy Heritage Foundation, is because a lot of the Russians who made Aliyah during the massive Russian Aliyah are retiring, and a lot of the medical students are leaving Israel to practice elsewhere.
And is that across the board for all medical positions, or just specific doctor's jobs?
Across the board mainly, but specifically, generally, but specifically it's targeting regular internists and physicians that we have to, move to the different communities throughout the country.
Right. And why, maybe I should give this impression, it seems like everything you touch turns to gold when it comes to these new programs. There were probably many skeptics about getting people to move up north. Why has it worked so far?
I don't know. it defied all my expectations, Nachum, really. We said we were going to advertise not even on the East Coast. We'll do a little bit, but this is going to be really mid-states of the U.S., for individuals who don't mind traveling 2 hours to something, who are used to having horses in their backyards, who want that kind of experience. But it's not. It's really remarkable. Most of the candidates, most of the applicants, are from the East Coast. Even though it's spread out, I think we have 26 states represented in the applicants. But it's remarkable. They're young, mostly young families who have this modern pioneering, modern chalutzi attitude that they want to come and not just come to an Anglo-centric community. And that itself is remarkable. My destination is Aliyah. There you see something very different in their applications, in their interviews. We want to come and make a massive difference. We want to come and not only settle the land, but we want to transform the land. It's a very it's modern chalutzim, modern pioneers, and they're remarkable individuals, and they're young people who can take the risk and take and make that leap of faith. And they're moving up north, and there's a lot of opportunities up north. A lot of companies, a lot of medical hospitals, and there's Google and Intel, the whole Haifa area. Mainly, people don't travel there, if they're living in center of the country. So if you're moving up north, it's not so bad to really commute to the opportunities that are up north.
What cities benefit most? Where are people moving to up north? What are the top one or two cities?
So we picked a few, but it's really all over the Galil and Golan.
So it could be anywhere.
Yeah, Miskav and Katrin and Chispin and really different areas.
Unbelievable.
That people have been really going to.
Unbelievable.
Really beautiful places. We love visiting them. The staff loves visiting because the north is a very special place. And once you get to the peripheral areas of the country, all of a sudden, this such idealism and such Zionism, it's so inspiring that the common denominator amongst the people is that they so love this country and so are invested in the future of this country that it just breaks all differences between what usually separates, sadly, the tribal aspect of our nation. And you'll see, best of friends, religious, not religious, or professional, not professional, because they have given their souls and their families and their lives to this country. And it's beautiful. And the reception that we have in the Golan Galil to this program has been remarkable. Remarkable. Just from mayors to community members, for them to dig in, how can we help? How can we make this happen? Because this is our country.
Not that you need any, but any new programs we should know about?
Not yet.
When it comes to you saying something like that, it means that there's stuff in the works which you're not ready to announce publicly yet.
Oh, your brother warned me yesterday. I think he said, usually you get on, you say, I'm really not supposed to say this, and you always leak stuff that
correct.
I haven't told the press yet. But I'm going to behave, and we'll wait with another announcement.
it'll be a calm lunch at the Nefesh B'Nefesh today, because Ray Fass has not revealed anything he's not supposed to. By the way, folks, if you're inspired, if you're turned on, and I hope you are, by the words of Rabbi Yehoshua Fass in this week of Parsha Shlach and Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, 866-4-ALIYAH, 866 the number 4, and then A-L-I-Y-A-H. There's also a website, nbn.org.il, nbn.org.il. Rabbi Fass, one of the most inspiring things I look forward to this time each and every year is the chart that you and your organization print. They put it out on the website, printed in newspapers, which tells us about essentially every flight that's taking place during the very heavy, busy season, thank God, of the upcoming summer, in this case, the summer of 2009. Are we going to see a list like that very soon?
I think so. I think it was actually in the insert of that New Jerusalem Post insert in the...
By the New York Post.
In America, in New York Post, yeah. But we will, it's online, and it's really incredible. I can run through them.
A larger summer schedule than usual?
It's very packed. We did something a little differently this summer. We're doing four charters, and we're doing 11 groups.
Wow.
We're basically between June and September bringing 3,000 Olim.
Unbelievable.
Which is a much greater number than we have in the previous summer.
What's the next flight? When is the next flight?
June 23rd, a group of 100 people coming. That's a group. And then right after that, we have a July 6th, which is an overflowing charter. And then July 13th, and another July 13th, and a July 14th, and a July 20th. And then August 3rd and 4th and 10th and 17th, 18th, 25th and September. It's packed. Literally every 3 days we have another landing. It's remarkable. UK, Canada, US groups and charters coming. We're celebrating our 40th charter this summer.
Wow.
Our 49th group flight.
Wow.
Well, by the end of the summer we would have helped 23,000 Olim.
That's a major city in Israel, 23,000.
22,000 is a lot of people, thank God. You know, when people were talking about, 100,000 people as a goal, I would say, well, stop putting, pie-in-the-sky numbers out there. Let's get realistic. When you hit 25,000, which is going to be around the corner, you're 25% done.
Yeah. Unbelievable. We look forward to it. What we do is we announce a mazel tov to each one of those groups as we get closer and closer to the dates when they leave and keep track all summer long of the Nefesh B'Nefesh flights, and we look forward to wishing a lot of people congratulations on their brand new life in Israel with this amazing number of flights that are taking place this summer. Just incredible. And people shouldn't be discouraged. If they don't make the summer, you're more than happy to help them during the fall and winter as well.
Absolutely. And you might be under, our surprise Aliyah program.
What do you mean surprise?
When you're at work, we go to your house, we pack your bags, and bring them onto the plane.
That's how it works.
Pick you up in a tinted van, and we just
you only do that to people. You only do that to people who you're sure really want to go, right? you wouldn't do that to the innocent bystanders. You're only doing it to the ones who are really seriously thinking about it.
whatever you want to believe.
When do you arrive here? Are you accompanying that group flight back next week?
No, I'm coming in for the July 6th.
Very nice. Well, good luck, Rabbi Fass.
I'll be back and forth, Luca.
Yeah, as you do all summer, every summer. Yasher Koach, Kol HaKavod, Mazel Tov, I will say to you,
thank
on yet
you
another amazing upcoming summer of 2009. Thank you for your words regarding Parsha Shlach and the encouragement you give so many who are tuned in about finally getting in their application. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all meet soon in the Holy Land.
Thank you so much, Nachum. Thank you for your time. Thank you to your listeners, and looking forward to seeing you here soon.
There he is, folks. Rabbi Yehoshua Fass, Nefesh B'Nefesh, at JM in the AM.
Let me mention again, those of you who want to follow up and get information regarding Nefesh B'Nefesh and their amazing work and how they help folks head to Israel. I didn't even ask Rabbi Fass about grants. I'm assuming, knowing Nefesh B'Nefesh, that grants are still at the same level they've been, despite the economic situation, knowing the amazing work of Nefesh B'Nefesh. Any help you're looking for regarding Aliyah, whether it be grants or technical help, etc., Nefesh B'Nefesh does it all. 866-4-ALIYAH, 866, the number 4, and then A-L-I-Y-A-H, or nbn.org.il, nbn.org.il. Wednesday morning, 8:26 in the morning here.